And KVGC News Time is now 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. Time for a look at the news for a Thursday, the 7th day of June for 2018. It's another day of frustration and confusion for Amador County voters and candidates. As of this morning, still no new figures have been released by the Amador County Elections Department. The delay began Tuesday as polling places across the county ran short on ballots for the primary election. The resulting scramble by the county elections office slowed the counting of ballots and resulted in only a partial vote count. Now, the elections department spent the day yesterday hand-counting ballots and reviewing vote-by-mail ballot counts. The vast majority of vote-by-mail ballots, plus provisional ballots and votes recorded on ballot copies or sample ballots when regular ballots ran out, were all reviewed. The numbers have not changed. Supervisor Brian Onetto leads challenger Andrea Macon. That in the District 5 race. In the District 3 race, incumbent Lynn Morgan is trailing challenger Jeff Brown. In the race for County Superintendent of Schools, the numbers have not changed. Amy Slavinsky trails Steve Russell. In the Superior Court Judge race, Judge Renee Day leads her challenger, Robert Schell. And for the Lockwood Fire Protection District, Cookie Stevens continues to lead Jolynn Middlestad. Now, again, these results are expected to change. Hopefully, new numbers will be released by the Elections Department. These are the same numbers that were released early yesterday morning with no change.
And Ione City Council has given final approval for the next phase of the Castle Oaks development. His homes in the city are being sold at an increased clip. And the council voted Tuesday night to approve the final map for Castle Oaks Village 5. The final map lays out the lots and various public improvements in the subdivision, such as roads, curbs, and utility lines, as well as creating legal lots that can be sold and built upon. Now, the approved map brings 66 new lots online in the city's largest subdivision. The developer struck a positive note, saying the early phases of the subdivision have sold off quickly and that they expect the same for Village 5. Now, the council also approved a revision to the city's animal ordinance, which will now require keeping dogs on leashes in city parks, such as Howard Park. The change was made in response to complaints of aggressive dogs running loose at youth sporting events, as well as other city gatherings.
A group trying to recall Calaveras County District 4 Supervisor Dennis Mills turned in more than 2,000 signatures to elections officials shortly after 4 p.m. on Wednesday, just before their 5 p.m. deadline. The county's ban on cannabis cultivation for commercial purposes in Calaveras County has been a central issue in the effort to recall Mills. The signatures will now be counted and validated within the next 30 days. Proponents of recalling Mills were required to turn in 1,555 votes, 1,555 valid signatures. If enough were submitted and they are validated for an election, that election will be consolidated with the November 6th general election. The petition to recall Mills was approved for circulation back on March 8th. A separate petition to recall District 1 Supervisor Gary Toffanelli was also approved for circulation on March 30th. The proponents are required to submit 1,396 valid signatures by 5 p.m. on June 28th. The Board of Supervisors split on a 3-2 vote in January to ban commercial cannabis. All cannabis cultivation, except for registered personal use, must come to an end today, June 7th, in Calaveras County. Before we check in with JD, we're going to go back to our friends from Cal Fire. Good morning. Okay, so you're at the Sac Valley Shooting Center on Meese Road, and that's going to go on today only?
Today we're going to go from probably about 10 to 3, and then the last day of the burn will be next Tuesday,
okay,
the 12th.
How did it go earlier this week? Because when did we talk to you? Was it Tuesday we talked to you?
Yeah, we talked Tuesday. We completed 127 acres Got that completely done. Got training with multiple districts, including Cal Fire, the Herald Fire Protection District, and Sac Metro Fire District.
Kevin, when you hold a burn like this, what do you do? Do you set off a certain area and then watch how crews put that out, or do you burn a certain area and then they do what they've learned? I mean, because you say these are training and learning, are they putting into action what they've learned, or do they fight the fire, then you tell them how to fight the fire?
Actually, I would say it's a combination of both. We go out there, we actually light some fire for them and have them attack it, do mobile attack with engines, hand tools, backpack pumps, bulldozers. We had two bulldozers out here last on Tuesday. We'll also have two today. We also teach them how to do firing techniques. So in the case we have to light a fire to burn out, say, between a road and an active hostile wildfire fire that's coming towards you, to burn out an area and make it black, which increases our chances of doing perimeter control on the initial fire. Mm-hmm. So they learn how to use drip torches, hand tools, you know, use the tools that they have for their trade on their piece of equipment.
Now, the fire will start at what time today? About 8 o'clock, did you say?
It'll start about 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Sacramento County.
10 o'clock.
Sacramento County is a little more restrictive than Amador because of the inversion. They don't like us to start pretty much ever unless prior to 10 a.m.
You can't burn, but if you do, you can start at 10 o'clock. Okay, understand that. Is this all just dry grass, or will there be some other vegetation with it?
This burn here is all grass, pretty much a 1 to 2 foot fuel depth. So it's actually not a super thick patch of grass, and some of it's been burned previously. So, you know, in previous years, so it's a fairly consistent fuel type across the whole burn. We will be, for information, doing some burning at the Amoruso VMP on Quartz Mountain Road and Fiddletown Road here in the upcoming weeks, and I will give you guys a call on that also.
That is a term that I don't think I've ever heard before. You said the fuel depth level? Fuel depth?
So what it is when we go and we get ready to do a prescription for a burn, which is what we're coming up with in order to treat that land in order to meet our objectives to try and get it back to a natural vegetative state like grass. The depth of the grass crop, so I'm probably getting a little bit deep into it here, but like if you have a good field of alfalfa, you might have 4 tons to the acre. So out here, I would say the tonnage per acre is probably 3/4 to 1 ton per acre this year, which is fairly light.
And you can tell that by the fuel depth.
Yeah, so if you're out there and you look at the grass that you're walking through, so the grass, you know, as you walk through, it's about a foot tall. The oats are probably 2 feet tall here.
So instead of saying, hey, the grass is this tall, you Cal Fire guys say, the fuel depth level is this.
Yeah, the grass is this tall works good too.
All right. Kevin, that burn's going to go off today about 10 o'clock and go throughout the afternoon. Will we again see what color smoke are we going to see? Black smoke, gray smoke, white smoke?
It's mostly going to be fairly light white smoke due to the fact that we're just burning all light fuels. And it's in small quantities because we light the fire, then put it out, light the fire, then put it out.
How much do you burn at a time?
This one here, we're going to do about 80 acres today, and each time we light an area, it's usually probably a quarter acre to an acre for each of the scenarios.
Wow. You're going to be out there, you're going to be, so you've got 80 acres and you burn a quarter at a time?
Probably a quarter to an acre, and we have multiple, you know, multiple resources doing different areas on the burn at the same time.
Okay.
So, yeah, so you might have 3 or 4 engines doing one scenario, and then you might have the bulldozer doing another scenario. So
you'd be out there more than till 5 o'clock tonight if you all just lit one quarter, put it out, lit another quarter, put it out. So, okay,
right.
good. So,
yeah.
So there'll be multiple crews out throughout the area then.
Yeah, today we're going to have 8 engines and 2 bulldozers out here.
Where are they from today?
Today, they're from all over the Amador El Dorado unit. So we have Amador and El Dorado County Cal Fire engines, and then we have Herald Fire Protection District and Sac Metro Fire District today.
All right. Kevin, thanks for giving us the call. And again, you're going to be back there next week to wrap it up. And then later on in the month, you're going to be out at the Amoruso property you said out of Fiddletown?
Yep, affirmative. And I will give you a call each of those mornings.
Okay. Kevin, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All righty. 1340 96.5 KVGC. We continue with the news this morning.
Well, this coming September marks the third anniversary for one of the most devastating fires in Calaveras County history. And as the date approaches, more than half of all Butte Fire cases filed on behalf of individual property owners have now been resolved. In a statement released recently, Gerald Singleton of Singleton Law Firm said more than 50% of the 2,000 or so cases filed by individual Butte Fire victims against PG&E have now reached settlement. Singleton's firm has handled about 1,000 of those suits and has about 470 remaining unresolved. A financial report filed by PG&E for the first quarter of this year states that, quote, as of March 31st, 2018, the utility entered into a settlement agreement in connection with the Butte Fire, corresponding to approximately $734 million, of which $657 million has been paid by the utility. Now, that statement suggests the settlements by PG&E thus far have paid about 90 cents on each dollar of damages claimed. Now, in related litigation, Cal Fire is seeking $87 million in compensation from PG&E for their costs related to fighting the Butte Fire.
And the Amador County Library invites you to share your personal experiences and learn the basics of digital storytelling in a two-day workshop set for later this month, June 19th and 20th, at the Pioneer Branch Library. This project is part of California Listens, a summer-long program sponsored by the California State Library and led by Berkeley-based Story Center. Share your story about life in California, specifically Amador County, as the workshop helps you make a short film using your personal and family images, videos, and archival material. Your video will become part of a statewide local story archive. The workshop will include lessons in how to make a great story, group script sharing, hands-on video editing, and production support. To participate, fill out the online application form at storycenter.org/AmadorCounty. Now, this is limited to the first 15. It's free. The course is absolutely free. Contact the County Library, 223-6400, for more details.
And with over 87% in favor, Measure A, the proposal to Mark Twain Healthcare District, was approved by Calaveras voters on Tuesday. Now, Dignity Health President and CEO Bob Deal said in a statement released yesterday, quote, the passage of Measure A affirms a new lease between the Mark Twain Healthcare District and Mark Twain Medical Center, which will continue to be affiliated with Dignity Health. Dignity Health continues to be proud to serve the residents of Calaveras County, providing high-quality, accessible health care. We want to thank the community and the Mark Twain Healthcare District Board for their continued support and partnership, and look forward to many more years of serving this community together. Now, as reported back in January, the Mark Twain Healthcare District Board passed two resolutions, one pertaining to the terms of a new Dignity Agreement. The other resulted in placing Measure A on the ballot.
And tonight, Calaveras High School will hold graduation ceremony 7:30 on Frank Meyer Field. 169 graduates are set to walk across the stage and receive their sheepskins. I don't think they write them on sheepskins anymore, but anyway, going to get their diplomas. As part of the ceremony, Calaveras High School will recognize a record number of 21 valedictorians, all graduating with over a 4.0 GPA. Special recognition also given to the foreign exchange students and the students that took part in the Calaveras Civic Engagement Program. Remember, entry into the graduation ceremony is by ticket only. Special handicapped and seating and parking is available. And that's a look at local news on a Gold Country Thursday morning. From the KVGC News Center,
I'm JD.
And I'm Jim Geedy reporting.